Hi, it's Chad and Christy. Mornings on 98.7 The Breeze. Welcome to our podcast where we are going to feature an organization that is doing something extra special and so good right now here in our community in Metro Detroit with what everybody is going through right now, the uncertainty of how long the situation we're all in is going to last. So many people that are finding themselves suddenly out of work. Mm-hmm. It is more important than ever to find good, positive stories to focus on.
Well, you know, every morning on our show around 6:40, I do a good news story, and I love seeing all the positivity that people are spreading. You know, the couple that made like a $2,500 tip when they heard that a restaurant was having to close their doors for dine-in customers. Another man that's a landlord that is waiving his tenants' rent for a month. Just so many good people doing good things.
Right, and one of those people here in our community is Terry Grawl, and she has an organization called Enchanted Makeovers, and what she does is she works with women and children who are going through a period where they're trying to get back on their feet. Maybe they're working in a shelter. She goes in and makes it a home and works with people here locally who are so crafted either in painting the home or making a blanket or doing something personal and special. And with so many people right now spending extra time indoors, maybe that's something that you're already doing. Our daughter said, can you teach me how to work the sewing machine mm-hmm. the other day? And she started making pillowcases.
Right. And then she said also on the list, I want to make beignets. And so we have a lot of things that are planned that we're going to be doing one-on-one with our family.
So Terry Grawl is with us now, who has started up the Enchanted Makeovers here in Metro Detroit. Let's go ahead and, Terry, and go to the very beginning and tell us how you got started with this project.
In 2005, all my four children were full-time in school. So I decided I was going to start a decorating business. And I remember telling my mother that this is going to be more about bringing women hope than anything to do with decorating.
Awesome.
So I started. My brother has a store in downtown Birmingham, so his employee, he said, I have a key to her house. She's up north. Go and just do a redesign. So I went in, walked into her home. I'm a flea market fanatic. Anybody that flea markets that's a fanatic knows there's a process.
Sure.
So it's the cleaning. It's the finding that really sacred spot in your home where you want to put it. Well, this woman is a flea market fanatic, but everything was placed just like she walked in and put it on her counter. Nothing was painted. And I just remember feeling, I didn't know her story, but I just felt a sense of just depression and sadness that I felt in her home. And I remember doing the redesign on her living room, and then I left a note on her counter, and I said, let me heal your home. And she called me the next day.
Wow.
She said, I want you to do that, please. So I started in her kitchen, and I'm all about tile doesn't represent tile to me. It's a new path. I try to go deeper than actual the material, what it is. So everything was handmade, very curtains made. I was painting her kitchen. And during that process, I was just praying for her, even though I didn't know what she was going through. And when the kitchen was done, she said, will you do my guest room? And I said, well, what do you want it to represent? She said, well, my grandmother took care of me a lot. And I wanted to be everything about my grandmother and how every Sunday she made me chocolate chip cookies. So she had her grandmother's teapot. And there was a poem her grandmother always shared with her. Mm. So it was kind of like a meditation room for her to go in and kind of just feel peace. So that was finished, and I said, before I leave, I want you to think about what do you want moving forward? How do you visualize that? And I said, right, by doing that, I want you to name your home.
Hmm.
So she picked High Hopes, and we had a sign, handmade sign made, and hung it outside. Well, she lives on Woodward in Royal Oak.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of, you know, that's an area where a lot of people pass her home. Well, she went into work one day, and her client walked in, and he started sharing, there's a house I go by every day to go to work, and there's something special about it. And she said, well, what does it look like? He said, well, there's a sign outside. It says High Hopes.
Wow.
And she said, well, that's my house, and I have to tell you about this woman that helped to heal during this journey for me and my home. And the gentleman said, well, besides me doing credit card, his business is all about credit card machines and everything. He said, I also do fundraising for Grace Centers of Hope. And he said, "You think that she'll come and just paint one wall?" That's all he was asking. So that was December of 06 is when Jeannie called. She said, "David, this is David's number. You need to call him. He just wants one wall painted." So I called David just before Christmas, and it was January of 07. I went to Gray Centers and did the tour. And that's the old post office where the women, because they've moved since, but it's the old post office. The women stay there for a year.
Wow.
So these are women escaping. This isn't missed mortgage payments, because I try to educate people. It's human trafficking to domestic violence.
Right.
There's a lot of female vets that are homeless. So those are the three areas that we're dealing with. The last stop was the women's dorm. So they took me up the steps, and it was quite a bit of steps to go up, upstairs. And it was this paint that was donated. It was like this chocolate brown. So they used it for everything. The trim around the windows, the steps, the door. It was this huge metal door that you had to use both hands just to push it open. It was so heavy. So I got in this women's dorm, and the director explained to me, there's 30 women that stay in this room. I said, "Where's the dressers?" She said, "Well, the boxes are the dressers, and they were underneath the bunk beds." The bunk beds were donated from a prison. The bedspreads were from a nursing home. The cribs were held together with duct tape. There was duct tape on the walls. Everything, I like to repurpose. I'm just a fanatic about vintage dressers and repurposing them and repainting them. There was nothing we could repurpose.
Yeah.
I just stood there, and I felt, I pick up my energy really quickly, and the room was actually working against the program.
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, how the women felt, I can say this now after 13 years, how the women felt internally is what they were visually seeing. And that is hospitals are changing. You see hospitals with murals,
right?
They have art. Until people understand that the shelters we're serving are hospitals.
Right.
The women are there from a year, and then they go to transitional, which is another 2 years, and then they go off to their own apartment.
Well, and you absorb your environment.
Yes. It's mentally, it's physically, it's how you feel, even your self-worth. So, but I took before pictures, and I told the director, "I don't know if I can do anything." Because I was being honest, it was overwhelming. I've never been to a shelter. And I'm like, well, everything has to be, the lighting was hanging by wires. So the carpet was from the 70s. It was all stained and torn up. So I took before, I went home, and I remember driving home, and I go and share it with different groups, and there's a lot of people, you hear them in the background go, "Oh," and I said, "God, why did you bring that to me?" I had this conversation driving home, why? I don't have volunteers. I don't have the money. I'm just starting my business. I have four. I'm going through this whole conversation. So I got home. I'm like, I'm not looking at those before pictures. I was just angry. And the end of the week, it was at that time, it was you downloaded the photos. There was no cameras, or phones, that we were taking pictures. So I downloaded the pictures, and the last photo was the bunk bed, and it was covered in urine stains. There was two pillows, no pillowcases on them. The wall had the duct tape, and on one of the pillows was the white polka dots on the white pillow, and I've loved polka dots since I was a child. And when I saw it, the polka dots, I heard, "Trust me." And I just raised my right hand in there, and I said, "I'll do it." And the rest is history. I've closed my decorating business a year after that makeover. And it has grown to now we have a sacred stone. We put in permanent sewing rooms and shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of my mother. My mother shared in 2011 how a sewing machine saved her life.
Wow.
My mother battles with mental illness. And a lot of women do, too, in shelters. So it's a great way to talk about that. But when sewing, if you, I don't know if you sew, but you don't think about nothing else but what you're creating.
Right.
It's a definite escape mentally, but then you're also learning a skill and you can provide for your family. So I'm like, okay, we are going to start the Sacred Sewing Room program. So we don't donate machines. We donate a program, which we set the whole room up. So we have great partnerships with fabric companies. So there's bolts of fabric, brand new sewing machines.
Wow.
Yes, it is not. And I share with people that have called and said, can you use like half the yard of fabric? And I said, I try to do it the most loving way, but this is how I explain to them. You are going to school and you are going to, I'm going to give you a pencil and there will be no pencil sharpener in the room. So once it breaks, I said, think about that. Is that we don't want any frustration or any kind of, you know, I can't do this. It needs to be, it's set up like a classroom. So you have actual fabric scissors. I think people like think, well, they can use any scissors. It's, and there's murals. So the walls, like we have one that we set up that the only space the shelter could give us was the basement. So I said, we'll take it. That's
sure,
fine.
Sure.
So the door, I had the mural artist. I said, I want the door to be a tree stump, but then put another door on the tree stump because it's all psychological. I want the women to feel like they're going into the forest. They're hiding in the forest and they're sewing. So the, inside the room was this enchanted forest. In the middle, obviously, was the sewing machines. And then there was a path. I want a path in the forest that they know that there's a way out. It all boils down with enchanted makeovers. It's all psychological. It's to the words that we have embroidered on the pillowcases, which is I am loved, I am precious, I am worthy, to the murals, what they represent. What I've learned over the years is 90% of the women have been sexually abused as a child. So I feel my calling is to serve that child that was hurt in the most horrendous way, even though she stands before me as a 50-year-old.
Well,
so
and you,
murals,
you have been acknowledged by so many people. I know the National Center on Family Homelessness.
Yes.
They call you the home healer. And even singer Sheryl Crow has said, I love on your Facebook page, she said that those that are touched through Terry's organization are given a dose of hope and warmth as they reclaim their lives. And that's what it's all about, is taking back your life and having a place to start over and move forward.
Absolutely. And I think that I try to get people to understand, because some people, you know, we've gotten feedback over the years is, well, they don't stay there the rest of their life. I said, wait a minute. There's three stepping stones with recovery and to healing. The first is the shelter. The next is the transitional. So you have to get through the first program to go to transitional. And then from transitional, you leave the program to your own apartment. I'm there. I want to be, I feel like I've been called to be the first stepping stone as she walks through the doors to say, I'm starting this program with my children, because many of them, there's children involved. That's where I want to be, because I want it to be the most successful outcome that she makes it to the next step. We don't want women leaving saying, I can't stay here. Because when I went through the first shelter and I sat with many of the women, because after I decided I was going to do it, I returned. And I had my little design board. You know, looking back, and I kind of laugh about it, but I used to braid my hair back then. So I had my braided pigtails. And I stood before, like, they brought some of the women from the transitional, it was Seneca Street, over to the chapel. So there was about 50 women that were in the chapel. And I say this in the most loving way. There's no judgment. But they looked at me like, who in the hell is this woman? Like, who does she think she is? Because there were so many broken promises. There are so many different
right,
groups of women.
Right.
The doors weren't even, because I asked the director, why is there no doors on those private rooms? She said, well, groups came in and they didn't finish the project. So I knew right off the bat, do not promise anything. Just let the women know this is what I'm hoping for. And I remember standing there before, you know, all these women, and it changed everything for me, because I didn't know at the time that the mirror was going to be flipped and I had to look at my own life and my own story, which is we also battled with homelessness growing up.
Mm.
And it was the standing in line for the free toy, the shame. You know, poverty can attack your heart.
Sure.
It attacks your identity. It's everything. But I covered that. It was kind of like, just put that aside on the shelf, but I never dealt with it. That was thrown in my face as I stood before 50 women. And I remember just breaking down.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, sobbing. And I remember opening my eyes up, and I saw it was 50 young girls. It wasn't 50 women. I became that girl that really didn't, that needed to be, to have that healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the women said to me, it's going to be okay. They were worried about how I felt.
Right.
And that's why I always say, we're not here to save anyone. We're here to walk beside the women and children.
Absolutely.
There's a different thing about that when you say that.
Well, that's the thing about volunteering is you oftentimes, if you're somebody who says, I want to go and I want to volunteer because I want to help somebody, what you end up hearing after the fact is how many people that volunteers that say, I got something out of this. I felt better by helping somebody. And it does kind of, the tide turns and the roles are reversed a little bit and you end up a better person for helping out and for volunteering.
Yes. And I hope that each donor and volunteer, which we call the village, that's how I see, you know, the people that have been with us for years, is that you see yourself in one another. Because the women have taught me so much about being brave and courageous and authenticity through just the stories they've shared with me throughout the years, is that I've always shared with all of them, you're warriors. You're not victims. You're not survivors. You're warriors. Even though they might not believe that themselves, anyone that's been through some of the things the women have been through, they're definitely warriors. So I try to change that whole, even the way they speak about themselves and the way others speak about the women and children, because I think that words hold life or they can hold death.
Absolutely.
Well, we recently talked to Terry Crews, who's the host of America's Got Talent, and he's on the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Obviously, he had a successful football career, and he's from Flint. So when we talked to him recently, we asked about the Detroit Youth Choir, because if you watched America's Got Talent last year, he got very emotional talking about them. And he says, you know what it was for me? Because we said, you know, you were there as the centerpiece and someone that supported the Detroit Youth Choir. And then all of us jumped in and voted and supported them along the journey. Who supported you along your journey? And he got emotional talking to us saying, you know, it wasn't until I got to middle school and my middle school football coach was the first person to say, you know, Terry, you have a lot of talent. And you can really take this someplace. And he said, and nothing against my mom and dad. I love my mom and dad. They love me. But hearing that from somebody that says, I believe in you, and his art teacher saying, you know, you are a great artist. If you want me to, I'll help put together your college applications. I'll help put together your package that you need to present because I believe in you. And he says, sometimes you just need to hear that from somebody. I believe in you. It's so simple. But when you hear those words, it means the world to you.
Well, and then having that extra added helping hand, because, you know, we all need help at some point in our life in one way, shape or form. And to have someone that's there to be able to reach out the hand and say, come with me, I'm here to help. And I understand you because I was you. It means so much. So now tell me, if someone out there is in need or someone out there on the flip side wants to reach out and be that helping hand, what is the best way to get in touch with you at Enchanted Makeovers?
Well, it's through the website. So we have enchantedmakeovers@comcast.net, but we do have our website. So it's enchantedmakeovers.org. We love people to serve with their talent. That's our passion, is that if you're a mural artist, if you love to sew, if you, you know, love to embroider, anything like that, because we're big about handmade. I believe handmade heals. So we want people to serve from that place.
And you also have a Facebook page, And I see where you have some wonderful things that you say about handmade, and talks about your mission, so people can also find you on Facebook.
Absolutely. And we do have a big campaign right now with TaylorChevy.com, is that they're trying to help us raise enough money because we're so desperate in need of a van so that we can deliver these handmade goods. I also go and speak at different groups and corporations. So it's kind of like a messenger on wheels. The van will be Riverview Community High School. They've already raised all the money to have the van wrapped.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, they just visited a couple days ago at the headquarters in Taylor and presented the check. So it takes a village. And
sure does.
That's one of the other ways that people can help. There's a GoFundMe on TaylorChevy.com. So if they want to support in that way, that would be amazing.
And again, just to get more information, it's enchantedmakeovers.org. And you definitely need to reach out and, as you say, show your passion, show your creativity. I love to sew. My grandmother taught me when I was younger. And on these cold nights, I still grab the quilt that my grandmother made for me when I was about 9 years old. And there's just something so comforting about it.
Absolutely. You can't get that off the shelf at a store.
Nope, you sure can't.
Well, Terry, it sure was great catching up with you today. And definitely at some point soon, we would love to get together with you and help out in any way that we can as well.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you both.